Hello there. Welcome to the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah, and I am here to talk all things private practice, helping you to build your vision of the private practice of your dreams. All right, everyone. I wanted to give us today four ways to decrease your workload in private practice. I think making sure you can decrease your workload and making sure that your systems are efficient is incredibly important. We are all in private practice in order to regain our time and practice on our terms. So here are four ways to help do that. The first is going to be coming up with your task lists and delegating them. Now, a lot of people that I work with, their first thing is as soon as they write down all of the stuff they have to do, they just get overwhelmed. The task list itself just looks ridiculously large. And I understand this. This does happen to all of us. But what I'd like to recommend you do is write down your list of everything that you have to do, whether that's seeing the patients, the documentation, the business side of things, answering calls, whatever it is that you're having to do in your private practice right now. I want you to just write it all down, right? Just get the list down. Then I want you to go through and mark the ones that only a doctor can do. And I mean legally. Like you're the only one that can legally see the patients, right? So there are certain things that only you are going to be able to do, but I want you to mark those because those aren't really going to be assessed on this list. The second thing that I want everybody to think about is what is your desired hourly rate, right? And some of this is figuring out how much your time is worth, and I'll talk about that in a different podcast. But basically, you know, you have goals for your revenue for the practice and for how much you want to bring home. And there is an hourly rate that you can figure out for what that is. So for example, for a long time, mine was $500 an hour. So for all the patients I was seeing and all the services I was providing, I wanted to be able to bring in $500 an hour. The next thing I want you to do is go through your list of all of those tasks, and I want you to ask yourself, is this something that I would pay somebody $500 an hour to do? Now, the answer is probably going to be no. And that is really your sign that this is a task that is not truly something you need to be doing. It is not actually, in that sense, worth your time. It's not worth what you're losing because you could be seeing patients and making $500 an hour. So if that task that you're looking at is not something that you would pay somebody $500 an hour to do, then where can you delegate it? Where can you offload it? How can you get it so a staff member or a virtual assistant or whatever it is you have is able to help do most, if not all, of that task? The second thing is going to be getting your team invested and on board. So what I like to do is have a staff meeting where I give my team a heads up about a week in advance that I want them to come up with one thing that we're all doing very well and is running smoothly, followed by two to three things that they feel need improvement. And the examples that I give them are systems, like the new patient check-in, how they're copying over paperwork, how the phones are being answered, how our messaging system is working. Those are the kinds of things that I want suggestions on. So once I've told them to give me the two or three things that need improvement, I also make sure to tell them that we need to come up with three solutions to each problem they bring forward. And then when you guys all sit down together, you get to brainstorm and you just watch the creativity happen. It's so great to see employees start to feed off of each other and feed off of those ideas. And somebody may have thought about it a different way than the other person. And chances are they've thought about it in a different way than you do. And that is where the magic starts to happen. So once you're getting all the ideas in together, you agree as a team on what solution you want to try. And emphasize that, right? That this is something that we are trying to do. We're going to try to implement this. And then you're going to assign a team member any of the small to-dos that might be involved in implementing this change. So a good example is my staff came to me and said that the new patient paperwork was just way too cumbersome. It was taking patients way too long to get through it all. So I assigned to two of them, can you work together to come up with a way to truncate that process, to bring down the number of pages that people are having to fill out? And they came up with some great solutions. Rather than initialing each and every item, they just had an initial at the bottom of the page and added a statement stating that you agree to all of the above things. Now, that particular change was an example of something that implemented very easily, the staff took ownership of, and they were really thrilled with how well it implemented to save time. Now, the key to doing this is to having that follow-up with your staff. So whether it's you have a monthly staff meeting or whether you have an every 2 month staff meeting, which is usually what I do, it's to see how things went. How did that change go? Was it well received by patients? Did it actually save us as much time as we thought it was going to? These types of exercises with your staff where you're following up and you're coming up with new ideas and you're taking their input, this significantly increases staff's involvement and investment in your practice, which is what you want. You want loyal staff members that feel like their voices are heard, their opinions are taken account for, and that you are open to change and you're open to implementing their ideas. Now, the workload benefit that actually comes from getting a team that is more invested in your practice is that they will start searching out ways on their own to review the systems and how things are working within your practice and come to you with solutions because they know you will be open to them. Having a team approach to making sure your systems are the most efficient possible will move the needle so much farther than if you're just trying to decrease the workload on your own. Now, the third thing you can do is consider niche services that will get you closer to that desired hourly rate. And this depends on what specialty you're in, and I'm not saying I know everything about every specialty, but you know, are you looking at procedures that maybe just reimburse more that you enjoy doing? Or are there procedures that you really enjoy doing that you want your practice to focus on that are cash-based services? So maybe they don't even get reimbursed by insurance. And a lot of people get scared to offer these type of cash-based services, but I will tell you, if it is something that you believe in, that you're excited about, that the patients are excited about, that's not something that they're going to object to. The objection rate is actually fairly low if it is a niche service that you truly believe in. If you think about it, the more of these types of services you do that get you closer to that desired hourly rate, the less patients you have to see in a day, and the less time, the less charting, the less workload for you. Now, the fourth thing and the final thing is going to be templates, dictation software, and staff utilization for documentation. Documentation and charting for patients is the biggest complaint that I hear from clinicians, and understandably so. It's become very cumbersome. The typing is a lot, and it takes time. And there's a lot of metrics around it now with how much we have to document to cover ourselves. So anything you can do to decrease the amount of time that you're spending doing that is worth doing. The first thing to look at is going to be whether your EMR system offers templates. I absolutely think it is worth the time to set up your templates. Really, truly, just go do it because you'd be shocked how much you can bring down the amount of time that you are spending if all you have to do is click in a type of note and it basically autofills most of it for you. Now, if you're like me and you're a little more computer savvy, you've probably already done that. So the second part will be looking at whether or not you can use Dragon or some other dictation software within your EMR. Some of them are not compatible. It would be worth checking with your EMR if it is. But I will tell you, using dictation software saved me in a couple of ways. One, I was starting to get carpal tunnel symptoms from typing, and I am a surgeon, so that can't happen. And two, it took my charting time down from about 8 to 10 minutes per patient to 2 to 3 minutes per patient. It was a pretty significant time saving. Now, that being said, even 2 to 3 minutes per patient adds up at the end of a day. You know, after you've seen 20 to 30 patients in a day, you have to be thinking about whether or not that 2 to 3 minutes per patient is worth your time. So the final way to really look at this is whether or not you can have somebody scribing for you. And that can be done if you have enough staff to have someone come in and at least get the note most of the way done for you, if not completely done, where you just have to sign off on it at the end. Or if you can have a virtual assistant or a virtual scribe do that for you. Usually that's just remotely done. You're bringing a laptop or a tablet into the room. Sometimes you have to have a microphone hookup, and it can be a little cumbersome with the virtual scribing, but that is something that is an option for a lot of people. So again, the four things you can do to decrease your workload in private practice are going to be coming up with your task lists, and delegating what you don't need to be doing as the physician, getting your team invested and on board and having them doing your systems review for you, considering niche services that will get you closer to that desired hourly rate, and then looking at how you're doing your documentation. So can you use templates? Can you use dictation software? Can you even use a scribe either virtually or in person? Keep in mind as you are going through these things and what you can and can't implement that you want to be as open as possible to a different way of doing things. Keeping ourselves open-minded and knowing that this is possible, that I could regain my time, that I can make my time have more value and get closer and closer to that desired hourly rate. That is an abundance mindset, and remember how important that is to keep going when you're in private practice. When it's just you, it gets very hard to want to do things a different way. We get into our habits. I understand that. But let's try to make sure we're keeping an open mind and see what of these tips you can implement here in the next few weeks. Good luck. If you found this podcast to be helpful for you, please share it with other doctors that you think could use this information. And if you need more information about the coaching services or having a coach help you through this process, please come visit me at visionarypracticesolutions.com.